Chapter 18. Carter. Dating Emma has several benefits. I laugh. A lot. I think about things other than art because I want her to enjoy our dates. I have conversations that make me think because she doesn't see life the way most people do. What dating Emma is not at all good for is my work. Oh, she's still inspiring sketches and ideas, but it doesn't do me any good if those ideas aren't getting transferred to Canvas. A week and a half. In that time, we've gone on 3 dates. 4, if I count the art appreciation lesson I slipped in, though Emma insists we call it work. Sitting together in church this past Sunday could bring the count up to 5 if I was looking to sound like a lovesick puppy. I step back from the canvas I've been working on all morning, and a sense of pure satisfaction fills me. Even Emma wouldn't call it mere blobs anymore, though there's a lot of work to do to bring layers and details into the picture. When I look at the canvas, I see where I'll add fine lines and shadows, where I'll use glaze to change the perceived depth. Part of me wants to keep going, to start in on the next step of my painting plan, but I'm 31 years old and my body needs movement, food, and at least 2 tall glasses of water. I'll get another painting session in this afternoon. I should probably not make plans with Emma so I can fit one in this evening as well. The idea makes me frown as I set about cleaning the palette and brushes. I'm fortunate to be an artist who lives off my art. I can guess the minimum my agent will be able to sell a painting for these days, and I know how many I need to paint each year to keep myself living comfortably, free to deny commissions, and saving for a rainy day. If I don't get back to putting in 3 sessions a day at least 3 times a week, I'll have trouble making that quota. Although what painting sessions I've gotten in this week have been amazing. I give the easel one more satisfied look before moving upstairs to take a much-needed break. I pour a glass of water from the filter pitcher in the fridge, then cross the kitchen to retrieve my phone from the charger on the counter. Before Emma, I'd have expected maybe 3 text messages to be waiting for me. 1 from the environmental sensor system with the average humidity from the day before, 1 from Grandpa letting me know his Wordle score for the day, and 1 from my mother reminding me to answer my grandfather. She still feels a little guilty that Dad's job took them to South Carolina, and she isn't around to check on her parents anymore. The last thing she wants is for them to feel abandoned by the rest of the family. I play Wordle myself, so I can send Grandpa my results and assure Mom I've done my grandsonly duty before I click on Emma's name. 17 unread messages. That's a lot, even for her. It's hard to drink water while grinning, but I manage as I scroll through the texts. They start as normal.
Emma, good morning. Emma, actually, more like good afternoon by the time you read this. Emma, I tried to pour my milk into my coffee in a heart shape. It failed. Emma, picture of a cup of coffee.
It looks just like a regular cup of coffee. I can't even see where she tried to make a heart. Me. Did you steam the milk first? I hit send, then scroll back up to where I was. Her response makes my phone vibrate almost immediately, but I just shake my head and keep reading. She knows I'm responding as I read, so she won't mind waiting.
Emma, did you know latte art started in the 1980s? Emma, I'd have thought it was older than that.
There's a large gap in the timestamps after that until she starts in with sharing the interesting things she's learning from podcasts. I'll never understand how that woman can listen to someone talk while writing out an email and be able to keep up with what's going on in both.
Emma, did you know that no one really knows the value of Van Gogh's Starry Night because it's never sold at auction?
She's added art history podcasts to her rotation. The paintings themselves might not interest her, but history sure seems to.
Emma, Knock, knock. Emma. Deep Carter voice.
Who's there?
Emma. Yourself. Emma. Deep Carter's voice.
Yourself who?
Emma. Your cell phone is buzzing. You'd better check it.
Well, that explains why I have 17 messages. The daily factoid messages started after our second date. Every interaction is purely Emma, but the tiny bubbles of text on my phone seem more authentic somehow, even if I can't quite picture them being written by the woman I've been picking up. I scroll through a few more informational tidbits as my phone buzzes two more times. Growing concerned, I skip the last few and scroll down to check the one she sent since I answered her.
Emma. Oh, good, you're on your phone. Emma. What's taking you so long? Emma. Oh my gosh, I forgot about the knock-knock joke. Emma. That was dumb because I really need an answer.
An answer to what? I flip back to the last two messages she sent. Ah, she has art questions. Or rather, museum ones. A niggling worry presses against the nape of my neck. I keep forgetting about the prototype, and I squirm every time something reminds me of it. Me. I have no idea how far people stand from the paintings when they look at them. Some people sit on the benches. Me. Some people can clear the museum in an hour. Others stay for the whole day. It's not predictable. As expected, her thanks come through immediately, and I set the phone down to make myself some lunch. If we follow the pattern we've done for the past few days, I'll have another group of texts after my afternoon session. On the evenings when we don't have plans, like tonight, I'll send her some messages about how my day went while I relax in front of the television. My hand has barely connected with the refrigerator handle when my phone buzzes again. Frowning, I pick it up.
Emma, how long do the guided tours last then? Wouldn't that be the average amount of time spent?
Me. Some people hang out at the museum before and after the guided tour. Once more, I set my phone down and see about getting lunch. I don't even make it to the fridge.
Emma, do you think the museum would let me watch the security camera?
Me. No.
Emma, gif of a guy on a couch with a stack of papers saying, "I need answers."
GIFs are an art form I sort of knew existed before Emma came into my life, but I hadn't seen many of them. I am on my way to becoming proficient. Me. I can take you to the museum Saturday. We'll sit and watch the people. I set the phone down slowly, like it might turn into a snake if I move too fast. Sure enough, it buzzes right as it touches the counter.
Emma. GIF of a cat laid out on its back sleeping.
This is ridiculous. She can't possibly be getting any work done. I pluck the wireless headphones from my charging station and put one in my ear. Once all the beeps signaling proper connection are finished, I go into Emma's contact and press call. Then I set the phone firmly on the counter and return to making lunch.
Ew, gross, you weirdo. What are you doing?
Of all the things that have made me happiest since I asked Emma out on a date, the best one is how quickly she's let me see the real her. The more we talk, the more the various layers and contradictions I was seeing make sense. The puzzle isn't all put together yet, but it's getting closer. And I only like it more the fuller the picture gets. I am making lunch. With my hands full of the ingredients for a club wrap, I close the fridge with my shoulder.
But you're calling me.
That is what phones were originally made to do.
They also originally charged by the minute, but we don't expect that anymore.
I layer my ingredients into my spinach tortilla. We do, however, expect to use two hands to make lunch, and I can't do that if I'm texting you.
It only takes one hand to put a frozen meal in the microwave.
Now it's my turn to say ooh. She scoffs.
I do not make the societal rules. Phone calls are for making doctor's appointments and getting hold of customer service people who aren't answering their email and don't have someone monitoring their social media accounts.
I'll be sure to let Grandma know that next time she calls.
Grandmothers don't count.
These are very complicated rules. I put the ingredients back in the fridge, add a selection of fruit to my plate, refill my water glass, and take everything to the table.
Whatever.
She sighs.
Okay, while I have you on the phone, I have questions.
Okay.
Since you don't know about normal people...
What even is normal anyway?
Tell me how you go through a museum.
While I eat, I talk her through my museum pattern because, of course, I have one.
I think I can scale the camera. Maybe use 0.5 zoom so the painting leaves enough room on the screen for the tour elements.
I'm glad she's not there to see my wince. I wouldn't know. I never take my phone out to look at a painting.
Not even to take a picture of it?
There will be a better one online if I want to see it digitally.
Well, this is at least a place to start. I don't suppose you'll be available to answer questions this afternoon if I have more?
I'm not taking my phone into my studio, but if you want to yell them at me, feel free. There's a pause of silence on the phone that makes me mentally walk back through what I said in case I misphrased it.
You mean, like, from your office?
As soon as she says that, I realize what I practically invited. I should hate the idea of anyone being in the house while I work, but just imagining her being here, living her life while I live mine, makes me happy. Sitting in the kitchen or living room would probably be easier. You can just call over the railing since it opens into the studio. Once again, there's silence over the line. I invited her farther into my house without thinking about it. She hasn't been here since the painting lesson. Remembering how that turned out has me hoping she both accepts and declines the invitation. Though we've been on somewhere between 3 and 5 dates, we've been careful with the touching. Neither of us wants to rush that. I've only even held her hand once.
Okay?
Her voice is small, as if she's checking to see if I meant it. Okay. I make sure to convey a confidence I don't know if I feel, but I don't want her to think for one moment she isn't welcome here.
Okay.
I can almost hear the smile in her voice. Text can't ever give me that.
You've got, what, 30 minutes left on your break?
I glance at the clock. It's more like 45 minutes, but I don't want to give her time to talk herself out of coming, so I agree.
I'm packing up my computer now.
The faint sound of zippers gives proof of her statement.
I can be there in 20.
Drive safe.
See you soon.
She disconnects the call, and I make myself do everything I would normally do during my midday break. I go for a short walk, do a handful of bodyweight exercises, check my work email. I almost jump when the doorbell rings, but there's no denying the smile on my face as I move to answer the door. The moment I see her standing on the other side, the final puzzle piece slides into place. I think I finally know Emma. I can see this girl making snarky comments and being obsessed with learning. I can see her wishing she didn't need to even own fancy pants, much less go anywhere that required her to pretend to like something she didn't just to be polite. I can see her playing the video games she sometimes mentions and living off easy prep meals. Come on in. You left your shoes here last time. I point to the Crocs I've made a space for under the bench.
Oh, good. Because I didn't think to bring any with me.
As she's exchanging a pair of black Crocs for the lime green ones, I take the time to catalog her appearance. The large computer backpack is the same one she had the day of the museum presentation. It's almost half the size she is, with a sturdy rubber bottom and handle. It's the clothes that really make me smile, though. She's wearing black camo leggings with her phone tucked into a large pocket along the outside of the thigh. a hooded sweatshirt that is at least 3 sizes too large and emblazoned with her college logo drapes from her shoulders to past her hips. Her hair is wrapped up in a scrunchie and looped into something that isn't a bun but still keeps everything on top of her head. And she isn't wearing a lick of makeup. This is what Emma looks like when no one is watching. Or at least when I'm not watching. That first Sunday I saw her at church, she was wearing what might be considered the publicly appropriate version of this outfit. Last Sunday, she'd been in a long, flowy sundress and a cardigan sweater. I lean against the wall and just look at her, drinking it all in. She turns to catch me looking, and a small frown puckers between her eyes.
What?
Nice outfit, I say softly, because I'm willing to bet she thought about her clothes as much as I thought about the invitation. Sure enough, a look of utter horror crosses her face. Before she can make a run for the door, I lean in and whisper, I like it.
Wait.
She swallows.
You're being serious?
I am. Can't say I'd suggest you wear it to dinner, but here? Just us? Yeah, it's nice. I slide the computer bag from her and gesture to the spiral staircase that will take her into the part of my house I actually consider my home. Now, let me show you where I live. The smile she gives me is so bright, so warm, I may need to make an adjustment to my environmental maintenance system. Especially because I think my smile might be just as big.